You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my friend, your friend, everybody's friend, Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Jeff. You didn't ask how I'm doing, but I'm doing all right.
That's good. I was wondering. Okay. I'm glad you knew that I cared.
You know, we got the telepathic stuff going on now. We've been together long enough.
Absolutely. We do want to let our listeners know the postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. And also, we want to remind you, please subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there. It helps other people find us. And then when you get in your car every morning, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. So for today's episode, we're going to spend a lot of time this offseason talking about a lot of different guys who played for the Dodgers this year and what their future is, whether with the team or away from the team. And we're starting first over the next couple weeks with some of the bigger question marks, the guys who have really uncertain futures. And we're going to start today with maybe two of the most uncertain futures, two key members of the Dodgers starting rotation. We're going to talk about Rich Hill, and then we're going to talk about Hyunjin Ryu and kind of what their futures look like. So let's jump right into Rich Hill, Vince. Hill is, I mean, not a free agent yet, but he will be as soon as free agency starts. His contract is up. He's spent 3.5 seasons with the Dodgers. He's gone 30-16 with a 3.16 ERA. He's been very good, but he's also only thrown 361 innings in 3.5 seasons with the Dodgers, maxed out at 135 2/3 in 2017. So he has not been the most durable, but he's been very good when he has pitched, including this year. He had a 2.45 ERA, but he only pitched 58 2/3 innings. So I remember when the Dodgers signed Hill to his three-year contract after his half season, I remember reading, I think it was Ken Rosenthal talking about, basically the Dodgers were hoping to get basically at paying Hill $18 million a year, they were hoping to get, you know, 120-ish innings a year from him and could be, you know, basically 2/3 of a starter's season, because they were paying him 2/3 of what they were paying Kershaw-ish, you know? And that's kind of what they got most of the time, but not so much in 2019. So that's a big question mark, because Hill is not young. He's 39. He'll be 40 before opening day. He'll turn 40 during spring training. And, you know, it's questionable whether he will pitch in the big leagues at all next year. And it's even more questionable whether that would be with the Dodgers. What are your thoughts, Vince?
Yeah. Rich Hill did say that he would like to return to the Dodgers. I don't know if he said he wants to play for sure, or if kind of he plays for the Dodgers or doesn't play. I don't think they got that answer out of him. But it's just, it's tough, and it's going to be tough with both guys on this episode, because the Dodgers do have so much young talent coming up and kind of ready to go. They have, you know, Buehler and Kershaw essentially locked into the first two spots, and then they got Julio, who should be moved to the rotation. They got Dustin May. They got Gonsolin. I mean, they have Kenta Maeda, who Andrew Friedman said was going, he envisioned being a starter once the season starts again, so he's always around. And at some point, you know, the depth might be too much, especially when it comes to starting pitchers. You can kind of get away with it in the field a little bit more, but when starting pitchers, you can only have so much. And as we've and with the young guys, they might want to bring a guy like Rich Hill back, who they won't necessarily have to count on to pitch every fifth day, and can kind of give those other guys some rest because they're not going to have to throw every fifth day. So I'd love to have him back, and if it's a one-year cheap deal, I wouldn't mind it at all, but I just don't know if it's in the cards for him to be back.
Yeah, it's one of those guys, kind of like Chase Utley at the end of his career. It's like you like having his presence. You like having him in the dugout, but it's getting harder to justify using a roster spot for him. I mean, the good thing about Hill is when he's healthy, he's generally really good. And so you're not, you know, he's eating up a 40-man roster spot, but not, you know, he's only using up a 25-man roster spot when he deserves it. So, but yeah, it's hard to know, especially with, you know, Garrett Cole and potentially Steven Strasburg both on the free agent market, both of them having ties to Southern California, you know, the Dodgers having money, you know, if the Dodgers were to sign one of those guys, well, that makes it even harder to justify bringing back Rich Hill. And I have to assume that the Dodgers will be in on Garrett Cole and or Steven Strasburg if he decides to opt out. So,
yeah, and obviously that's another part of it that I didn't even touch on is, you know, free agents. They might go after, like you said, Cole or Strasburg. I'm not sure there's anything else too exciting on the free agent market in terms of pitching. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, if it means Rich Hill instead of one of those guys, I'm not for it. If it means Rich Hill somehow supplementing one of those guys, then I'm all in. But I would prefer, selfishly, he retires if he doesn't play with the Dodgers next year.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. You know, we had Chase Utley, and then David Freese kind of took Utley's spot. They overlapped by, you know, 6 weeks or whatever. But, you know, David Freese kind of took over the Chase Utley role this year. Russell Martin also kind of filled that role. So you could picture Rich Hill being that kind of guy. I don't know. We'll talk more about Russell Martin in the coming days or weeks too, you know, where he fits in that. But yeah, Rich Hill. I don't know. Anything else you have to say about Hill before we move on?
No, just I really like Rich Hill.
Yeah, we're both big Rich Hill fans for sure. And hope he's either with the Dodgers or, you know, with the Dodgers in a Chase Utley capacity, you know, a special assistant or whatever. So in a minute, we will talk about Hyunjin Ryu, who is in a similar boat and also an entirely different boat at the same time. Hey, Vince, did you know the postseason's coming up?
I am aware.
Well, Vivid Seats is an online ticket event marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. One thing I've learned is that going to Dodgers postseason games definitely qualifies as an experience that lasts a lifetime. Most notably for me, Game 3 of the World Series last year with my two sons and my dad and my uncle is an experience I and they will never forget. So with Vivid Seats, you can watch your favorite team and or musical artist or whatever in person, and you earn credit back on all your purchases made through the Vivid Seats app. They have what's called the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program that you are automatically enrolled in just by using the app. So Vivid Seats can help you find seats to any of your favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And like I said, the loyalty program is awesome. They have different reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer. So you can earn different amounts of credit on each purchase. And then you use that to get free tickets eventually. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. You are automatically enrolled, like I said, in the rewards loyalty program just by using the app, and you will get credits on all your purchases as part of that rewards program. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. So if you're going to see the Dodgers in the postseason, use the Vivid Seats app because it's awesome. And be sure to enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100.
All right, I'm going to take it back to the salt and pepper days, and let's talk about sex. For some of you, that may have been around the time where your glory days were. For some of you, you might not even know who salt and pepper is. But regardless of all that, I'm here to tell you how you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like Dodger blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works, and you can take it whenever, with whatever's in your stomach, whatever's going on in your life. It's chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, and you can be ready whenever the mood hits. This isn't for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra boost in the bedroom. It's like a little adrenaline rush. Like if you're on the mound in Game 7 of the World Series and, you know, the crowd's going crazy and you get that extra adrenaline rush, that's what it's like. And it's easy. It's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No weird doctor's visits, no talking about your sex life, no waiting in the pharmacy and maybe seeing somebody you know from high school. None of that awkwardness. It's all made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for all you listeners. You can go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free with the promo code MLB. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Dodgers.
Okay, it's time for our obscure form of Dodger of the day. I went back a little bit, kind of to my childhood, and actually to my dad's childhood, too. I think this is one of the few guys who my dad and I both have baseball cards of, because his career started in 1966 when my dad was 13. And it ended in 1985 when I was 8. So, and he played with the Dodgers two different stints. He was on the 1981 World Championship team. He played in the all three rounds of the postseason in 1981 and went 2-for-3 in the World Series. And then he played in the Dodgers. He left the Dodgers in 82, and then he came back in 85. And was on the Dodgers 85 team that went to the NLCS and lost to the Cardinals. And he went 0-for-1 in that NLCS. His name is Jay Johnstone. Are you familiar with Jay Johnstone?
I've heard the name. That's about it.
Jay Johnstone is from West Covina, or went to high school in West Covina. He was drafted, he was pre-draft. So I don't even know how he signed with the, but he came up with the Angels in 1966, played a long time, and then went to the Dodgers in 1980. But the thing Jay Johnstone was most well known for was being a jokester. He was a practical joker. Some people credit him with inventing the hot foot, where you light your teammate's shoe on fire. I'll read some of the pranks listed on his Wikipedia page. Put a soggy brownie inside Steve Garvey's first basement. Setting teammates' cleats on fire, cutting out the crotch area of Rick Sutcliffe's underwear, locking Tommy Lasorda in his office during spring training, dressing up with Jerry Royce as a groundskeeper to drag the Dodger Stadium infield in the fifth inning, and then hitting a pinch-hit home run when Lasorda punished him by making him pinch-hit, nailing teammates' cleats to the floor. And he once went into Tommy Lasorda's office where Lasorda had pictures of celebrities hanging all over the office, and he took all of those down and replaced them with pictures of Jay Johnstone. So
I do know that story. I didn't remember that it was him, though.
Yep. And if you look up his, I'm picturing the card. I think it was his 1984 Fleer card. He's wearing like an umbrella made of Budweiser something. He's got like a Budweiser umbrella that's wrapped around his head to shade his head. So that's one of my favorite baseball cards from my childhood. So that's Jay Johnstone. He is our obscure former Dodger of the day. You probably don't have any Jay Johnstone thoughts, do you?
I do not.
Well, good. Let's talk about Hyunjin Ryu then. You probably have plenty of thoughts about him. Ryu led the major leagues in ERA this season. He is possibly going to win the Cy Young Award this year. It's tough to tell for sure, but he's got a chance, and he is a free agent. He accepted the Dodgers' qualifying offer last year, which means he cannot be offered a qualifying offer again this year. So that makes him more attractive as a free agent. But what makes him a little less attractive as a free agent is his agent, Scott Boras.
Yeah, and Scott Boras, what was the exact word? The lucrative offseason for Hyunjin Ryu. I don't know. I don't know how the outside people perceive Hyunjin Ryu. Obviously, we know how we perceive him. We like him. He's been solid since he's recovered from injury. He's been with the Dodgers for a while now. But realistically, I don't know if he can be the ace of your staff and you're a legit World Series contender. He's better suited as a number two or three. If he's your number three, then you're probably a World Series contender, whereas he kind of was for the Dodgers. You can, you know, debate where you want Kershaw in game two or Ryu, but realistically, he's a two or three. And as we saw last year, I don't know if there's a big market for that. If Strasburg opts out and then Gerrit Cole, those will be the two big guys. And it sounds kind of weird because coming off how Ryu might win a Cy Young or at least be top three for sure. I'm not really sure what his market is, and I guess it's going to depend on which teams decide to compete next year and which teams decline to compete next year and how they want to go about it. And it's very confusing for me to kind of think of places where Ryu could go and fit and places that would throw him the money that Scott Boras thinks that he might get thrown at him. So there's a lot of question marks for Ryu still for me. I'd love to have him back on the right deal. And the other thing is we don't really know much about Ryu. Does he want to come back to the Dodgers? Would he take a discount and stay with the Dodgers? There's a lot of unknowns when it comes to Hyunjin Ryu.
Yep. Yeah, a couple things that Boras said. Somebody asked him which was more important, a high salary or an extended length of contract. And Boras said, that's like saying with a car, do you want the engine or the steering wheel? You want both. So, you know, Boras, as of right now, is trying to position Ryu to get a big, long, hefty contract. And you know, Scott Boras is kind of famous for, I still remember when Oliver Perez was a free agent, and Scott Boras actually made like a 70-page booklet comparing Oliver Perez to Sandy Koufax. And so, you know, he's not afraid of hyperbole a little bit when it comes to his own players. And one of the selling points he has on Ryu, he says he is age-wise 32, but the truth is innings-wise, he's probably about 26 or 27 because he doesn't have many innings on his arm. That makes him very valuable. You know, and basically he's saying, well, yeah, he's hurt all the time, but that means he hasn't thrown as many pitches. So that's a good thing, which obviously, one side of that is there's a big unspoken if he can stay healthy for you. But then the other part that I found more intriguing is the fact that it's only kind of true. Because Hyunjin Ryu started pitching in Korea when he was 19 years old. He pitched 201 innings as a 19-year-old and 211 as a 20-year-old. And 165 as a 21-year-old, 189 as a 22-year-old, 192 as a 23-year-old, 126 as a 24-year-old, and 182 as a 25-year-old before he came to the Dodgers. He threw 740 innings in Korea before he came to the big leagues. So if you actually look at overall body of work between the major leagues, sorry, he threw 1,200. He's thrown 740 in the big leagues. He threw 1,269 in Korea. So between those two and the little time he spent in the minors on rehab starts and stuff, he has thrown 2,046 innings in his career. For comparison, Clayton Kershaw has thrown 2,523. So Kershaw has about 480 more innings thrown than Hyunjin Ryu. But is 480 innings really enough to say that Ryu has the arm of a 26-year-old? I don't think so. I don't think there's many front offices that are going to fall for that line of reasoning. And I think Ryu might be one of those guys who, if he's not careful, Boras might price him out of the market, like happened with Dallas Keuchel or whatever this past offseason. You know, and I wonder if Ryu is going to end up having to settle for a lot less than what he's looking for right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And another part of that is the Dodgers handled him very, very carefully, especially after he came off his shoulder surgery. They would, you know, try to give him as much time in between starts. They could give him that extra day in between starts if they wanted, they could. And I'm not sure how many other teams want to sign a guy to big money, and they could potentially not be able to count on him every fifth day, or know that his numbers are significantly better when he has an extra day off. So that's another part of it that, you know, maybe it, you know, it's very possible that a team could sign Ryu, throw him every fifth day, and he's fine. But it's also very possible that he struggles and they end up having to give him time off, or he makes an IL stint or something. So, there's, like I said, there's just a lot with Ryu that we're not sure about. And like I said, I'd like to have him back, but it would have to be the right terms. And if he doesn't come back, the Dodgers are more than capable of, with their current team and current people that should be on the roster next year, and obviously if they sign somebody else or trade for somebody else.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of crazy how much of a difference those four starts made, because without those four starts, he finishes the season with like a 1.6 ERA. You know, if he had pitched better in those four starts, you know, easily wins the Cy Young Award, and, you know, probably changes his free agent market a lot. I think those four starts might play an outsized role in his free agency, maybe.
Yeah, and you know teams will definitely hammer that point against him.
Yep. You have any other thoughts on Ryu before we wrap it up?
No. I saw the report the other day that him and his wife are expecting, so congrats to them.
Yeah, for sure. That's exciting, and, you know, we've seen with Daniel Hudson this postseason, you know, family is more important than baseball. And it's good when guys can have both. And so it's exciting for Ryu. I hope he gets paid a lot. Whoever signs him, I hope he gets his big payday. Obviously, Ryu's not hurting for money. But, you know, I think after the career he's had in the big leagues, he deserves a big payday.
Yeah.
And so I hope he gets it. And I'm sure he will, even if it's not quite as big as what he's currently hoping for or expecting.
Yeah.
So thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow to continue this series. We've got a long list of players we want to talk about. So tomorrow we'll bring you two or three more guys whose future with the Dodgers is a little bit less certain. So we'll be back with that tomorrow. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. It's pretty easy to remember. It's the name of our podcast and then the email service that everybody in the world uses. So if you use that little rule of thumb, you'll never go wrong. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text. The number is 323-863-LOCK, L-O-C-K. So we are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!